It's patently unfair. You tell someone to go smell the roses, and what you're really saying is that people should slow down, enjoy life, experience the good in the world. But you tell someone to go fly a kite and...
That used to be an insult.
Master Kite Builder, John Burkhart.
But if you say that to me, I'll go right away. It's a really great way for me to relax. I have been making what we call cobra kites. There's a square face and a long tail. And I enjoy that because you can do some really nice graphics. And the tail gives you an additional framework for the graphics. And besides, the tails sort of play a little bit like puppy dogs.
How much work goes into making a kite before you actually get to canvas or silk or paper?
Actually, for me, more work goes into the initial design than into the actual sewing and construction. So I'll spend 60, 80 hours in a design and maybe only 40 in the actual construction.
Burkhart's work will be on display at the Kites of Asia Day held at the National Air and Space Museum. The Smithsonian and kites go back a long way. Michaeline Gimpali, educational specialist at the National Air and Space Museum.
The first aviation object collected by the museum was a kite that was donated in 1876. They had been brought by the Chinese Imperial Commission for the 1876 Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia.
But when it comes to kite history, the best-known story is actually part myth. John Burkhart says America's most famous kite flyer didn't actually fly his own kite.
Well, we're talking about Ben Franklin, and when he did his famous experiment, it's been determined that Ben was under a shed while his son was holding on to the kite. And so Ben was nice and dry when he did the experiment of touching the key to the line and finding out that, yes, there was electricity there.
But Kites of Asia Day is not just about the history of gliders. It's a hands-on event. Michaeline Gimpali.
We provide stations for visitors of all ages to make kites. We do a very standard sled kite that's made out of Tyvek. And for the little ones, we're going to have little tie kites. We also are going to have the big exciting one for us this year is that we have a group of Tibetans coming in that are going to be demonstrating how to make Tibetan kites.
Well, Tibetan kites looks primitive, a simple, but it's not simple at all. It's just like a F-16 fighter jets.
Kite maker Tenzin Lundup says in Tibet, kite fighting is enormously popular and aggressive. Strings are often lined with broken glass to cut opponents out of the sky.
In Tibet, roof is flat, so everybody gets on the roof early in the morning until dark. They play whole day. We call it zinga fight. So it's really interesting. It's like football season here and kite seasons in Tibet.
Kites of Asia Day will also feature Tibetan dance and lectures, but what most people come to see is the indoor kite aerobatics. Education specialist, Gimpali.
It is simply amazing, and people always ask me that. How do they do that? Do they bring in fans? What they are is they're ultralight kites, and the people that fly them do choreography with their kites. So there's music, ultralight kites, and it's dancing with the kites. And we have national champions coming, and they have such incredible self-control. They can do things like pull their kite out over the audience and tickle their heads with the tails and pull it back. It is simply amazing and must be seen to be believed.
Of course, the trick isn't getting the national champions to fly at the museum. It's getting them to stop.
They'll start flying at 7 a.m. Mind you can't come into the museum to watch them till 10, but they will start flying as soon as they get here, and I have to kick them out at 3 because they just love flying in the Air and Space Museum.
And if you want to fly the kite you make inside the museum?
Unfortunately, we are not allowed to fly kites in the museum unless you're a professional and in a cordoned off area. However, we work very closely with the annual Smithsonian Kite Festival, which is the following weekend. And any kites that are constructed at the museum here on the 20th can be flown the next weekend on the mall on the 27th.
The theme of that festival is craft. Smithsonian Associates Program Manager Brigitte Blacher says that visually, there's nothing quite like it.
The skies at any kite festival are filled with color and beauty and different shapes and variety. It is art in the sky.
Master kite builder John Burkhart is one of the judges.
What we're doing in the States is more creating art. And the other part of it is there's visual art and then there's performance art. And the performance art are the multi-line kites that do ballet routines to music. It's really quite spectacular.
Three competitions will be held on the National Mall. Program manager, LaCher.
Our first competition is a handmade kite competition. The second competition is a stunt kite competition. We call it the Stunt Kite Showdown. And it's a multi-line kite, and you compete against other multi-line kite flyers for doing the most tricks in the sky. The last time we did this, we had a 9-year-old boy beat one of our more famous kite flyers.
But beware, nothing in Washington with a string attached is completely safe.
Yes, I'm afraid so. There are trees on the National Mall anywhere you go and you fly a kite, and some of them are kite gobblers, I'm afraid to say. The National Park Service comes around after Kite Festival and cuts down a lot of kites.
And even though we sometimes think of kites as being pastoral and calm and sort of a nice thing to enjoy, your kite festival is actually aggressive. People are fighting.
Well, we're not fighting now. Our third competition is the traditional Rokkaku battle. And that is giant kites, which are in the sky, manned by four-man teams or four-woman teams. And essentially, they are pulling the kites out of the sky. And the last kite remaining in the air wins.
And if the wind gets too blustery and you have difficulty controlling your kite, remember, this is Washington. And Congress is in session. For Metro Connection, I'm Andrew Hiller.